You know, the Lord is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. They should, like the prodigal, came to his senses. Said, what am I doing here in the hog pen at my father's house, you know? Life is good. So he made up his mind and he returned to his father. And his father saw him a great way off. And he came running to him. Amen. He came and he embraced him, kissed him, put a turban on his head, sandals on his feet, and a ring. Amen. That identified him as what? Son. Not a slave. He said, well, if I return to my father's house, at least I could serve as a slave in my father's house. But that was not the case. When he saw his son coming, he said, welcome home, my son.
Amen.
Amen. I hope you learned your lesson in the hog pen. Amen. Go and sin no more. Okay? So that's the way the Father is. And he just wants to redeem and save. Amen. He came to save. And he came to seek out and save those who were lost. And I don't know about you, but I was that lost sheep. And I'm grateful for the Lord, amen, and what he's done in my life, how he rescued me and brought me to himself. New beginnings. Amen. Hallelujah. Old things pass away. We don't have to live out of regret, out of shame. We can rejoice in the new day, in the new beginning, and all my sins, amen, have been blotted out. They're not to be remembered against me anymore. Amen. Sometimes people will say, you remember what you did? Because they're still holding on to that grudge. Amen. But God's not like that. When God forgives, it means the debt has been canceled. He's no longer going to hold it against you. The devil beats you over the head, doesn't he, with the past. We got to quit listening to that voice. We need to believe what Jesus said. Those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let's have a word of prayer. Would you join with me? Father, I just thank you for today and for the fellowship of saints, Lord, the brothers and sisters, the family of God. How precious is the body of Christ. And we can be here together, Lord, in your name. And dear Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, you will reveal truth to us in the inward parts. God, I pray that you would transform our minds, our hearts, our thinking. Bring us into alignment, Lord, with your will and your purpose for our lives. God, I pray that you would fill each one of us here today with the knowledge of the will of God in Christ that concerns us. May your kingdom come and may your will be done here on earth, just like it is in heaven. So, Father, let heaven come to earth. Overshadow us, hallelujah, with your glory, with your presence, in Jesus' name. So, we are in Christ Jesus, we are part of a kingdom. Amen. It's a new order of things, you know, and it's... We're no longer, in a sense, citizens of this world. We may be citizens of the USA, amen, but I'm no longer a citizen of this world. When the Bible talks about the world, it's talking about the cosmos or that evil system that is in opposition to the rule of God. The kingdom of darkness, if you will. When we talk about the world, not the earth, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen. The earth is a gift. Amen. It's our home. Amen. And God gave us a body. Amen. An earth suit. Amen. That works on this planet, right? But we're part of something that is much bigger than we are. And only those who have been born again can see this kingdom, can be a part of it. And so when Jesus was asked, well, when they asked Jesus about prayer, Jesus said, pray this way. And how many of you know this prayer very well in Matthew 6 and 9? He says, in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now, James said that we are led astray by our own passions, our own lusts. Amen. As God does not tempt us with sin. So we're saying, Lord, deliver me from the wicked one, amen, that would cause me to fall into sin. Because you think about in the beginning when Eve sinned and then Adam, you know, they were in a place where they shouldn't have been. God said, stay away from that tree, amen. Don't touch it. Don't eat of it. You know, that's forbidden. And so they had to be in very close proximity to that tree in order to be able to partake of it. Amen. They were in the wrong place. And so we should pray that God, you keep us, amen, from being in the wrong place.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Yes, so Jesus said in verse 13, for yours, he's speaking to the Heavenly Father, is what? The kingdom. What does kingdom speak of? It speaks of government. Yours is the government. Amen? It's the government of God. And He rules over all, even the nations. He's the one that raises up kings and brings kings down. He allows things, amen, to happen to fulfill His will. He says, yours is the kingdom and the power, which is the word dunamis, which is ability, the ability of God. So the kingdom, amen, is speaking of the government of God. There is a order, amen, to things. God's word, amen, is our authority. All of God's word is our authority. God's word is not something that we can approach lightly and pick and choose between what we'll obey and what we won't obey. How many know that obedience to the king is not optional? He rules. He is the ultimate authority, and he gave us his word. And as long as we will submit ourselves to his word, place ourselves under his word, we place ourselves under his care, under his protection, under his blessing, under his favor. When we're under the word of God, amen, then the word of God will work powerfully on our behalf. And this is the problem, is sometimes we think that we're smarter than God. And if I were God, I wouldn't do it that way. I would do it this way. As if the thing that was formed can say to him who formed it, you know, I've got a better idea. So the kingdom is speaking of the government of God, and then the power is what? The power is the ability, the grace of God, amen, the ability of God. So the ability to do what God calls us to do, amen, is provided freely through Jesus Christ. He doesn't call us to do something without providing the grace for us to do it. But we have to place ourselves under his authority, under his word. Amen. And then the power of God can flow in and out of our lives. Amen. To accomplish his purposes. Safety is in obedience to the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so the glory is the manifest presence of God. When the glory of the Lord filled the temple at the dedication of Solomon's temple, amen, they were so blown away by his presence that the priest could no longer continue to minister. See, when God's glory shows up, now the Lord is doing it, amen. We receive an anointing, amen, in Christ. When we're born again, amen, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we receive an anointing from God to do certain things well, amen, as part of something bigger than ourselves, as part of a body. Each member needs to know its purpose and where it can function effectively. Amen. But when the manifest glory of God comes, the Shekinah glory, the same glory that was in the very holy of holies, amen, in the temple. When the glory of God comes, now it's no longer of us at all. In other words, God just starts to sovereignly move and work miracles and save people. And we've seen that. We've seen people supernaturally healed. Nobody laid hands on them. Just being in the glory of God, they got healed. Or being in the glory of God, they came under conviction to where they trembled and said, God, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Because when you're getting close to God, you will realize how holy He is and how unholy you are. And how much you need His mercy. Oh God, forgive me. Like Isaiah said, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And he became very much aware in Isaiah 5, you know, of his situation. Is that right? Everything we have is from God. Everything we have is from God. It's not of us. The kingdom, the power, the glory is from Him. And it's not of us. So possessing God's power without understanding the government of God can cause severe problems. See, we have people that are wanting God's power. They're always asking God, give me power, give me power, give me power. But if you're wanting power, but you're not willing to place yourself under authority, you can be very damaging. Are you hearing me, somebody? It's illegal for us to function in power apart from the sovereign rule of God in our lives. That's what happens in witchcraft when people are using power, because all power, amen, came from God, because God created everything, including Satan himself. So to operate in power without being under authority or under God's authority or being submitted to God's word is a dangerous thing. I know it's getting quiet in here, but I want you to think about this. Yours is the kingdom, the government, and the dunamis, amen, and the manifest presence of God. So we have to be under the authority of God to be able to exercise legitimate authority in the earth realm. Illegitimate authority is someone taking a position upon themselves, a position that God has not given them. It is someone trying to ascend, if you will, the hill of God, amen, their own way, some other way to climb up rather than through Jesus Christ, who is the one who promotes and advances. But he promotes and advances the obedient, the faithful ones who have been faithful in little, amen, have learned how to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God, that which God has entrusted to them in their care. They've been faithful with whatever they had in their hands to give back to God and say, Lord, what can I do for you today with what you've given me? Where can I invest my gifting where it will produce a harvest? Where it will bear fruit. Because the will of God always produces life. The will of God always produces good fruit. Being under His authority is a good place to be, because that's where we receive instruction. As we worship God in spirit, amen, we draw near to God, God begins to remove the blinders from our eyes, and we begin to see clearly in the spirit what God is up to. What God is saying. We'll recognize truth. Because it's the Spirit of the Lord that reveals truth to us. He's the teacher. So we've got to be in the Holy Spirit. We've got to stay under the authority of God, under the government of God. And then we can wield the sword of the Spirit. Amen. We can use the word effectively when we are under God's authority. Amen. How many know that there's a reason why soldiers are trained, amen, to use their weapons? And one of the first things that they instill in soldiers is that you are now part of something bigger than yourself. And you're no longer your own property. You belong to Uncle Sam. Amen. So you need to learn how to obey orders now. Obey those who are in authority over you. A dysfunctional army is when everybody does their own thing and there's no order, okay? Nobody knows what is the mission. What is the order of authority here? Who do I answer to? Do I just answer to myself? Do I do whatever I want, when I want, however I want? How many know that if you are a follower of Jesus, that means that you are following His Word, amen? You're under His authority. He's the commander-in-chief. And I'm just here to say yes, sir, no, sir. Christ is supposed to be in the driver's seat of our life. You know, I've shared this story before, I think, with some of you. But we have some friends growing up. My brother's in the back there, called the St. Jeans. And I think it was Brian or Alan, one of these kids. They had more kids than, I don't know, I've lost count. But they had a big family of kids. And these kids were like, you know, they just... It was hard to control because there were so many of them, you know, to keep order. Well, one of them decided that he wanted to drive the family car one day. And he didn't know how to drive, but he got in the family car. And they had this road that went down, and on the bottom was a pond. I don't know exactly what happened. My memory probably isn't serving me right, but all I know is I think it was Brian. And Brian got in that car, thought he was going to go for a drive. And Brian didn't know what he was doing. He'd never driven. And it didn't end well, okay? Let me just say that. This is an example of someone having a powerful vehicle in their hands, amen? But not having the authorization or the maturity for that. So it is, we have to be under orders. We have to be under the command of God. We have to submit ourselves to the Lord. Amen. And not go beyond what He's telling us to do. And if He's telling us to do, we can't also be sitting back in garrison. Amen. When He wants us out on the front lines. So we need to navigate by the Spirit of the Lord. Because power that's not under authority is dangerous. People use power to manipulate, to intimidate, to dominate others, to control others. That's witchcraft. Even in sometimes in the church, people are operating in witchcraft. Amen? If you got a leader that's manipulating and controlling and intimidating their congregation to do what they want them to do, are you hearing me? That's witchcraft. That's illegitimate. A leader is supposed to be under the command of their leader. A true prophet represents the one who sent them. Amen? Not their own interests, but the interests of the one who sent them. And so, likewise, each one of us have been given in the kingdom, in Christ, a responsibility. We've been given an assignment. We've been given an authorization by the Lord to do a certain thing. But we have to make sure that we are under His command. And that we are not doing just something that we think is a great idea, but that we're doing what God says to do. How many know that you can spend yourself unwisely? You can do a lot of things for God that may not be in the will of God. And you can get what we call burnt out. Jesus never burnt out in ministry because He only did what the Father showed Him to do. And He only spoke what He heard the Father speaking. He taught us this is how it is to walk in this kingdom. Amen. You're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. You belong now to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your commander in chief. You're to take your orders from Him. Amen. You're to be led of the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Not self-willed, but Spirit-led. Our biggest problem is that our self and our selfish ambitions sometimes get in the way of the will of God. We think we know what's better for us. God knows what's best for us. He made us. He created us. And God is good. He's good. He loves His children. He loves His people. He wants only good for His people. Amen? Any good parent wants good for their kids. You want your children to be healthy, to be happy, to be blessed, to be prosperous. You don't want your children, amen, to be depressed and sickly and, you know, and starving. And no, God wants good things for his kids. But good things come to those who are willing to listen to the voice of God. Israel was brought once again into the wilderness to learn how to listen to the voice of God, how to hear and obey the voice of God. Even in difficult trials, that's when we learn to listen. We're in a position, we're in a place we've never been before, where now, God, I need to hear from you. I need a word. How many know what I'm talking about? You need a word from God. You need to hear from the Lord. Lord, what do you have to say about this? That's a good place to be. It means that you're coming under submission. Where you're in a place where, Lord, I don't want to do anything if you're not in it. God, I don't want to go anywhere if you're not going before me. That was Moses. Moses was a humble man, and he said, well, Lord, if you're not going before me, I don't want to go. So likewise, you and I, we want to be in the will of God. We need to learn how to be careful, amen, when it comes to the will of God, that we're not missing God or spending ourselves unwisely. How many know that we only have a very short time, each one of us, to accomplish what God has called us to? And there's no time to be guessing at it and playing games. It's time, amen, to shut off the distractions, get alone with God, seek his face, and discover what it is that God has for me, amen, so that I can be in this race and I can run with determination, with a goal in mind, knowing where I'm going. Come on, somebody. Not just spending myself and saying, now where is that finish line again? We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and finisher, isn't he? God's kingdom, you know, there's got to be order in any government, you know. We see that in America today, don't we? People say, oh, I don't want to listen to the government. I don't want to listen to the authorities. I don't want to listen to the police. I don't want to I don't want anybody telling me what to do. You know, rebellion. And because when you start to do that, when you start to get into that mode of thinking, then chaos is a result. Dysfunction is a result. There are even people that rejoice in anarchy today. They think that's somehow a good thing. Until they're standing in a soup line or something because they've destroyed the nation that was supporting them. They bit the hand that was feeding them. But that's the devil, because devil deceives people. He blinds their eyes so that they can't see clearly. And a lot of us, you know what I'm talking about? We've made things and decisions and we've fought certain ways. To us, it was normal, it was right, until God removed the veil and revealed what truth really is, what's authentic. And we say, man, what was I thinking? I wasn't able to see clearly because I didn't have any light. But Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And when you have the light of Christ in you, amen, and you draw near to that light, amen, in relationship, all of a sudden, amen, the blinders come off. You start to see things clearly. You start to know the voice of God clearly. You can start to see the vision and the purpose of God for your life clearly. Why? Because you're in the light. But if you want to compromise with the darkness, well, the enemy will keep you blind. In the areas of your rebellion, the areas where you refuse to submit and bow and obey God, the enemy has a place to camp out. It's called a stronghold. It's darkness. Amen. So what we want to do is we want to kick the devil out, give him no place in our lives, and give Jesus full permission, amen, to have every part of us. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want my entire being to be filled with the light of Christ. Amen. I don't want any devils hanging out there tormenting my mind and robbing me of my peace and joy. Amen. I want to be filled with the love and the joy and the peace and the goodness of God. Amen. Because I'm yielding completely to God and allowing him access to every part of me. Amen. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have nothing to do. Give no place to that devil. That's what Jesus said. He says, the devil has no place in me. I don't give him permission anywhere. Have access to me. So there's a government here, what we're a part of, a kingdom government. And we have to be understanding of how God's order works. Now, in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, it says, he, the Lord, Jesus himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, in other words, their responsibility is not to do all the ministry, but to equip the body for the work of the ministry. You see, we've had that kind of mixed up for years, haven't we? You think, well, they're the minister. They call them the minister, but actually in Christ, we're all kings and priests. Amen? We're all ministers. We're not all apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers, but their purpose and their job is to equip God's people for the work of the ministry, that every one of us will understand who we are in Christ, who He is in us, and what our responsibility is in this world. How can I make a difference, Lord? Where can I make a difference? So there's no such thing as a lone ranger in the kingdom. What was his name? I'm talking to Earl here because him and I have some connections from the past. He was part of a unit that I was also stationed at in Korea. 1st or 38th Infantry. And so there was a guy named White, remember? Who, on the DMZ, the Demilitarized Zone, they have these speakers, you know, that are broadcasting all the time in propaganda. And they have this Freedom Village. It's a fake village with, it's just a facade, you know, that's made to look like North Korea is such a paradise. And of course, most people in their normal mind would not believe that. And you know, but this one individual, White, and there's been a few over the years that have actually taken the trip across. And then, of course, they become slaves to the North Korean government. In a case like that, and we had something that happened in recent days or two when a guy left his post, amen? And as a result, others lost their life trying to get to him. So lone rangers can be destructive. People who are not part of a body, people who are not under the authority of Christ and His body, God assigns us to a unit. If you will, we are New Horizons Company. Amen. Part of God's army. Hallelujah. And so each church has its place, its influence. You know, God has different personalities of people that seem to flock to a different type of church. It doesn't mean that they're wrong. They just may fit better in that situation. You know. But the true church of Christ, amen, are a group of believers from all different backgrounds, experiences in life, sometimes different denominational backgrounds, that have been born again, amen, that have come into new life, and God then assigns them to a family, amen, to a group of believers called the body of Christ. And we're now understanding that I'm part of God's army, and I'm part of something bigger than me now. And so the lone ranger, though, is the one who thinks, well, I don't need to connect to the body or be involved with the body because I'm just my own person here. And that's where problems come in. How many realize that that young man that left his post ended up causing the destruction of a couple other soldiers that were out there trying to find him because he was not where he was supposed to be? I hear it all the time. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. No, but if you are a Christian, you should be part of the body of Christ, amen, which is the church. And whenever two or three gather together in my name, there I am in your midst. The Lord is the one who calls us to fellowship. And how many know that you receive the benefit of others when you're united together in the body, amen? And you are also now in a place where you can share what God has given you with others. And what we want to do is we want to build up each other. Because if I'm building you up, amen, then I'm benefiting. If you build me up, then you're benefiting. We all benefit, amen, when brothers and sisters benefit. Why? Because we're all connected. We're family. And if one member's hurting, we feel it. Amen? If one is rejoicing, we rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. In other words, as a family, we should be, amen, concerned about one another. We should be looking out after one another. You know, I had a little sister, you know, And she's about 5 years younger. And Bruce is a year and a half older than me. But, you know, when I discovered that she was being picked on, you know, on the playground, I was still in grade school, she was in a younger grade. You know, well, she called up for backup. She just got her older brother show up, you know. So there's safety, amen, in numbers, in family, we take care of each other. So my sister, okay, she knew that she had somebody watching out for her, amen, that was looking out for her. So likewise, you and I, we need to look out for each other. Amen. If we bite and we devour one another, amen, we got to be careful that we're not consumed of one another, like Paul said. Amen, as a family, as a body, you know, if somebody is acting inappropriately, you know, what do? We should pray, first of all. Pray for them. Say, God, please help this brother and sister open their eyes. Help them to see. Help them to get out of that trap. And if there's something you want me to do, Lord, I'm available. Show me. But we don't want to kick them when they're down. Amen. Oh, we don't want to get on Facebook and say, did you hear what so-and-so did? Oh, let me tell you. You know, that happens too often. I mean, you hear about it. The Christians are devouring each other over on Facebook. What a shame. Let's love one another. Amen? Yeah. Understand that if I'm attacking my brother, I'm actually attacking the Lord. Because he belongs to the Lord. And the Lord doesn't take that kindly. Amen? He doesn't take it lightly. So if I bless my brother, I'm blessing the Lord. So let us bless and not curse. Amen. It doesn't mean that we turn a blind eye to sin or something of that nature. We need to pray and ask God to show us what to do. If we see a brother that's in error or a brother that's falling away or a sister, amen. Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
In a spirit of meekness, humble yourself. Amen. Even when we correct, we should do so with gentleness and respect. We don't browbeat. So how many know that in the Lord's army, he's the one that gives you the assignment? We don't give ourselves the assignments. And it's God who calls us, not we ourselves. He's the one that saves us. He fills us. He exalts us. Amen. It's not we ourselves. He equips us for everything. So the Lord told us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That is our priority, is the business of God, is the will of God. Why am I here? What is my purpose? My purpose is to be an intercessor. I am a royal priest. Amen. Unto the Lord. In Christ, you, did you know that? That you are actually a priest. Not somebody that wears a black shirt and a white collar. Amen? But we are all priests unto God in Christ Jesus. Because we've been given access through the Holy Spirit into our Father's presence. So we can make our petitions known and we can stand in the gap and pray for one another, amen, to intercede for others before the throne of God. It's very important that we understand who we are, who God is in us, and what our purpose is. And we need to pray for God's reign, the reign of heaven to come to earth. See, some people are sitting around waiting for something to change, waiting for something to happen. Well, God is waiting for his people to call on him, amen, because he's willing to release his kingdom, government, authority, and power, and presence, amen, if we will intercede and call on the name of the Lord for his intervention in America, instead of cursing the darkness and complaining about everything that's going on in Washington, amen, we should be praying and interceding for our nation, amen, for all those who are in authority over us, according to Romans 13. Because God wants to intervene. God can intervene and God can change things. God can change anybody, any heart, if you and I will intercede and call in his kingdom reign.
Yes. Amen.
into the situation. In our neighborhoods, we've seen it here. We've seen it over at the other church where it was infested with the drug houses and all the other stuff that was going on out there. I don't want to get into it. But all we know is that we went to battle. We prayed and we interceded and we cried out to God and said, God, we're asking you to drive the enemy out. Amen. How many know we're not wrestling against flesh and blood? It's not about the people. It's about the devil that's captivated these people. Amen. And he's simply using them just like he's used us at times. So we pray, God, that you will intervene, that you will rise up in this city and, Lord, drive out our enemies. Hallelujah. Crush Satan under our feet, Lord. Get mad at the devil. Quit tolerating him. Quit tolerating him in your home. Quit tolerating him in your workplace, in Walmart, wherever you find yourself. Amen. Don't tolerate that devil. You take authority because God has authorized you to do so in his name, to invoke his divine influence on the earth realm, to bring heaven to earth and see the kingdom of heaven invade the kingdom of darkness, hallelujah. And wherever the light is, the darkness cannot stand. And we have seen shifts. We have seen changes in the neighborhoods where we've been in. Hallelujah. Where all of a sudden everything cleared up and there was peace. But we had to stand in there for a while sometimes. You have to fight for a while. Amen. The enemy's stubborn. Same thing in our own lives. How many know you can kick the devil out, but he's going to look for a way to get back in again? If you don't take your stand and say, I refuse to yield, I refuse to any longer bow down to that spirit of addiction or whatever it might be, pornography, I'm not bound down to it. Take your stand, and the Lord will stand up in you. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace. What's that? The ability of God. Yes. For thine is the kingdom and the power, dunamis, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. In Daniel chapter 7, this is speaking future. This is a prophetic word. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. Who is that? As Jesus. That all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. No matter what it looks like, no matter how bad the devil tries to make himself look, no matter how much he puffs himself up and tries to look big and bad, come on, somebody. We know who the Ancient of Days is, and we know who our Lord is, amen? And we know that he has overcome. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Behold, I give you power, amen, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I give you the authority, exousia, to trample on all the works of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. We're supposed to be invading the darkness. We're not supposed to be running away from the giant. We're supposed to be removing the giant. Sometimes the devil lies. And if we're entertaining that lie long enough, we can start believing a lie and somehow think that the problem's too big, it's too beyond what is able to change. And what he's trying to do, he's trying to talk you out of your faith. He's trying to talk you out of believing God for what God will do if you believe him for it. Are you hearing me, somebody? He just wants to stop you from believing God and calling on the Lord. Amen. So he comes along with discouragement and says, oh, it's hopeless. There's no sense in this. There's no point in you praying any further. The giant's just too big. Who do we believe? Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. What can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If he's given us the authorization, he sent his spirit, then the enemy is the one who's in trouble. Just like the spies that went to Rahab and they were thinking, oh my word, what are we going to do? And Rahab says, oh, as soon as they heard about your God and what he did to the Egyptians, the fear, the dread of God came upon us. So while they were thinking, okay, that somehow the enemy was not afraid, the opposite was true. The enemy was actually afraid of the people of God. That's what she said. Do you understand? If you and I know who we are in Christ, if we believe, amen, if we are true believers and we know who we are, and we know that God has given us authority in His name to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy, if God has given us permission, amen, to destroy the works of the devil in His name, then the devil's the one who's going to be trembling. If he can lie to you and tell you, oh, it's too big, it's too bad, it's too impossible, that's why he's always trying to make himself look ugly and fearful. Fearsome. Why? Because he wants us to believe that somehow the devil's greater than God. You know why people serve Satan? Because they think he's greater than God. You will worship what you fear. That's why we should not be entertaining all this garbage, amen? Watching horror movies and anything that's exalting evil. Amen. Because what does it? It produces fear, and fear is the opposite of faith, and the enemy will have you in fear, and he'll start controlling and dominating you in fear. People can't go to sleep at night without a light on, amen, or something, the music playing, because they're afraid of the boogeyman. Yep. God's given you authority over the boogeyman. And the boogeyman will know if you know who you are, and he'll be afraid of you. Just like the people in Jericho were afraid of the people of God. They represent the enemy in his camp. But the people of Israel didn't realize that, except for Joshua and Caleb. They had a different spirit. They understood that God has given us the authority to go in and take, amen, this land. And as we go, we're going to drive out the enemies. Because he said, every place the soles of your feet trod, I've given you. Amen? So this is, it is the way it is in our own personal lives. You need to take authority, take charge of yourself, amen, and say no to the enemy. Put a stop right now. It's called repentance. Yeah. Put a stop to that enemy. Yeah. And don't allow him access. Amen. Give no place to him. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Believe in the Lord your God. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You shall be delivered. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And he has authorized us as his people to go in his name and to enforce what he's already accomplished for us. The enemy is defeated. The enemy is defeated. Jesus is Lord, and He's our God. Amen. We're not to fear our adversary. Amen. It says in verse 18, the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Are there any saints in here this morning? Yeah. Verse 26 says, but the court shall be seated, and they shall take away His dominion to consume and destroy it forever. It's talking about the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist that will be ultimately destroyed, amen, defeated at the coming of the Lord. He shall destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Who's that? Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. He's coming to rule. He's coming to reign. Jesus came and he declared, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is among you, is what he's saying. Jesus was crucified, dead and buried. On the third day he rose again, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he sent the promised Holy Spirit upon his church, amen, to do what? To continue to do the works that he began to do. That's destroying the works of the devil. Amen. And to declare the kingdom of heaven. Amen. In every place. Hallelujah. The kingdom of heaven is here today. The government of God is here today. And we are His subjects. We are to pray for the reign of heaven to come to earth. Hallelujah. Now this is the thing. Jesus didn't tell His church to sit around and wait for an escape. Sometimes Christianity has been reduced to sitting around and waiting for a rapture. And I believe in the rapture. It's been reduced to sitting around and waiting for an escape. Or it's been reduced to just singing about and talking about heaven, which, praise God, we have a home. Amen? We have a place preserved for us in heaven. But what God wants to do is He wants to bring heaven to earth. That's why we pray. Do you think that God is like saying, okay, I want you to pray for thousands of years for the kingdom of God to come, and then during the millennial, His kingdom will come? How many know that God reigns already in the hearts and the lives of His people? And He wants to reign through us in the earth realm. He wants to drive out our enemies in our own lives, in our families, in our communities. God can turn any situation around if we would obey Him and submit ourselves to His governmental authority and be willing to say what He's saying, do what He's doing, and get over ourselves. Repent of our selfish ambitions of grandeur. Are you hearing me, somebody? Sometimes we just are too concerned about what others think about us rather than what God thinks. Can't be pleasing everybody all the time, you know. God's looking for the harvest of the earth. Jesus died for the souls of people. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He doesn't want anybody to perish. But He wants everyone to be saved. He's waiting for the harvest, and He looks for harvesters. He looks for those who will join Him in His mission, who will place themselves under His authority, who are willing to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Jesus, and be a part of what He's doing. Joining yourself in the mission of God, joining together as the army, amen, of God, as a unit that has been equipped, amen, and sent in Jesus' name to work together for the purpose of building up, amen, the body of Christ. God wants people to come to know Him, and He's given us the authorization to go in His name and proclaim this message of forgiveness of sins and eternal life through Jesus Christ. So after Jesus' resurrection, it says that He spoke for over 40 days concerning the kingdom. And then He told His disciples to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. So in other words, He says, you're going to have to receive an anointing. You're going to have to receive My power in order for you to be able to do what I've called you to do. You can't do it in your own willpower. You cannot do it in your own strength. God wants His people to be filled with His power. He wants us to be baptized with His Holy Spirit so that we can be effective and bold in our witness, so that we can become fearless, amen, in His presence. Because it's the Lord who gives us confident assurance. It's the Lord who gives us the faith to believe, amen, and not to be afraid of death. When you're in His presence and you're close to Jesus, it's like, man, all is well. I've got my big brother, man, looking out for me. He's backing me up. He's rooting for me. He's telling me, go, son, I'm with you. Do what I tell you to do, and I'll be with you. Say what I tell you to say, and I'll confirm My word with signs following. So we need this power. Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from Me. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Do you understand that today there are many people that don't even know about the baptism with the Holy Spirit? They don't even know about this power. They may be believers in Jesus. They may have salvation, but they don't know about this baptism that will enable them to actually live out the purpose for which God saved them in the first place. You can't do what God called you to do without the power of the Holy Spirit. So God wants His people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about water baptism. Amen. That's a baptism of repentance. We're talking about the baptism with power, dunamis, so that we can do the things that Jesus did. Jesus did everything by the power of the Holy Spirit. Even though He was in very nature God, He relied upon the power of the Holy Spirit when He was here. And He said, I want you to do the same. I'm going to go to the Father. And if I go away, it's good for you, because if I go away, I'll send the promise, the comforter to you. Amen? And so He poured out on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, the Holy Spirit, amen, to empower the church to do the works of God. Hallelujah.